Good morning. I don't know about you, but was that an anointed worship service this morning? Come on, you guys. I think it was a couple Sundays ago, the Lord showed me an arrowhead. And we don't realize that the anointing is like an arrowhead. It goes into the atmosphere. And maybe it goes into you guys' ears, but it also goes into the atmosphere. And does that make a difference? Can we change atmospheres? Can we change areas? Can we change spheres for the gospel? This worship? Johnny, what was that first song you sang? Great Expectations. Do you know what a prophetic word? That was prophetic song. Declaring great expectations. It was powerful. I mean, when I heard it, I just went, I don't know if I've ever heard it before. It was powerful. But we have to understand there's not only, I mean, this stuff, this anointing is something that we've contended for years. We've contended for it. I mean, this just doesn't happen. Not everybody is anointed that gets up to worship and sing. But we have contended for this worship team. And I'm sorry that I get emotional. But there is victory. There is victory. It goes into the atmosphere of this city. And do you know that When you contend for something, what do? You're battling for it. You're taking ground. We're taking ground. And when we take ground, what are we doing? We're fighting. It's a fight. It's a fight. And I don't know you, but I've been in a battle. You guys been in a battle? You know what a battle is? It's when you feel like all hell has broke loose, and yet you know that he's never going to leave you, he's never going to forsake you, he's going to bring you through. It says, when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I go through it, I don't stay. God has seasons. Sometimes I feel like I've been in a season of battling. And I've been a Christian for many years. I know how to pray. I know my weapons. I know what those weapons are. And today I just feel led of the Lord to share. And I don't know, Pastor Drake, sometimes I just go on and on and on. I get studying the Word and I get so much. And it's like, Lord, okay, I gotta sort this all out so it makes sense. So I'm gonna try to sort it out today. When I'm in a battle, I listen to preachers and I listen to tapes and I listen to my prophetic words and I just bombard myself because I know I can't do it on my own. I want to read the prophetic word from Dave Wagner. I'm just going to read a little bit, and we've heard it before. This is the prophetic word for 2017. It says, I'm calling you from beyond. You have been held in a place that I am calling you from. I am beyond where you are now. Come from where you are to the beyond. Come from where you are to the beyond. Come from where you are to the beyond. Wow. I think God's trying to get across something across to us. It's like maybe I'm in a battle, but guess what? There's a victory on the other side of this battle. Come on. Sometimes we have to just have eyes to see beyond. Beyond the present. To what God's doing. You know, the word says that he works everything to good. Do you believe that? All things work together. I am marshaling an army. I am calling you forth. I am causing you to rise up. I am causing even the dry bones to come together in this season. I am calling together and raising up a mighty army. You will go forth in my name. You will see kingdoms brought down. You will see kingdoms raised up. In this season and the hour that I am marshaling my army. Do you know what marshaling means? Marshaling means that he is arranging, assembling a group of people, especially soldiers, and he's putting them in order. That's what he's doing. He's assembling an army. And I don't know about you, but when you're in a battle, I want to be a good soldier. I don't want to go down in the fight. Do you want to go down in the fight? I want to win these fights. I mean, just in the last week, I've been so sensitive to the Word of God. And God brought me to Isaiah 53. And I just read about what he did when he died on the cross. And I just wept. I was reading it. I just said, God, sometimes I just live below this. I suffer sometimes with fighting with sickness, and we battle in the areas of our finances, and we do these different things. And you read Isaiah 53, and if you hear it, and it was like I heard it fresh. I heard it fresh this week, and I just wept as I heard it. I just went, God, but you know, God did all that on the cross, but you know that his victory was twofold. He battled on that cross, and he bore our sins, and he was bruised. He was whipped for our healing. By his stripes, we were healed. That all happened on the cross. But you know that he also resurrected? He didn't lay in the tomb. And if you read it, if you really read it, it says that he came out of hell triumphantly with the keys of death and hell. He came out. Death and hell. And when I read it, I just went, God, there is a place of resurrection life. There's a place of beyond. Sometimes when I first heard that word beyond, I was like, this is really weird. Beyond, beyond. But there is a place beyond where I am into resurrection life. Okay. Now, help me, because I can get just sidetracked. I don't want to get sidetracked. I feel that God is marshaling an army, but I feel like some of the army is gone AWOL. I do. I feel some people have just said, I can't handle this. I can't take this. This is too hard. And they've gone AWOL. And I feel like some of you, and some of God's army, his chosen, some of us are maybe in the brig. What is the brig? Is that jail in the army? Have you ever been there, Jake? Yeah. How about you, Jim? Oh, yeah. Oh. See, that's what I prayed for. And what does that mean? It means, I think sometimes we're just in rebellion. That we're just in rebellion. When you're in the Army, Jim and Jake were in the Navy, but if you didn't follow orders, guess what happened? You got in trouble. You're on the bridge. Okay, so God, I believe in this season, the time, he's just checking our hearts. Where are we at? Where are we at? And I don't believe God comes with a condemning word. I do believe he comes with a searchlight, though. Just where are you at? I want to read, I'm going to do it on my phone, just because I like the Amplified version, but it's such a big Bible to carry around, so it's easier to do it on my phone, so if I have to muddle around. I believe that we're in the Army, that God is teaching us how to do warfare, and I've been a Christian over 40 years, and God continually has to remind me about my weapons. And I want to talk today. I believe there's three powerful weapons. There's probably a lot more, but I'm just going to talk about three today. I'm going to talk mostly about two. The third one I'm just going to touch on. I want to read out of 2 Corinthians, get my phone to cooperate with me. 2 Corinthians 4:10, and we all know it. It says, though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we do not carry on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh. Or use the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical. Weapons of the flesh are blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish every act of disobedience when our own obedience as a church is complete. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty to God, pulling down strongholds, destroying fortresses. We know that a lot of our battle is in our mind. A lot of the battle is in our mind. Those fortresses, sometimes, they're in our soul. These battles are in our soul. And this is the warfare. This is the fight. The enemy wants the souls of men. But we know that Christ bought our souls back. He bought us. Yes. In our spirit man, we're three parts. We're spirit, soul, and body. When we got born again, God gave us a renewed spirit. He gave us a new spirit. But through sanctification or through the pressing into God, we get our soul saved. And most of the time, our battles are with our souls, our mind, our will, and emotion. And God has made provision for that. God made provisions with that in the resurrection. And I believe that one of our main weapons is the Word of God. So many times we can get, and I've been guilty of this myself, where I treat my Bible as a common book. But it's not a common book. It's not a storybook. It's a weapon. In Hebrews 4:12, let's go to Hebrews 4:12. Take me a little bit of time to get there. Most of you, if you've been around a while, you could recite it. For the word of God is alive and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person. To the both joint and marrow, the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging every thought and intent of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed and revealed to the eyes of him for whom we have to make an account, to give an account. Hebrews says that the word of God is quick, it's alive. It's alive, it's not a common book, it's alive. If I have my Bible, I've had it, it's alive. And when I battle, when I'm struggling in an area, for me, the first place I go is to the word. I said, God, I need a word. I need a word. And the word divides. It divides my soul and spirit. Because so many times in our spirit, man, we're in battle. You know, fears and things come upon us. And sometimes we're overloaded. Those enemy attacks. I like what Sandy says. If God isn't talking, somebody's talking. It's usually the devil. Up here. And sometimes we even think, I think I heard a preacher from Reading. He talked about how even in those times of struggle, how the demonic forces can talk to us, and we think it's us. He even talked about the spirit of suicide, that a demonic force gets in and speaks to the person in its own voice. Think about that. What's going on in your head? What goes on in our, what is the battle that goes on in our heads? Sometimes our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, sometimes we just get tired. I don't know about you, but sometimes is it easier to just sit in despair? Have you ever? Not, it's just not me? Come on. Be honest. Or how about contending for sickness? We talk about, I'm a healthy body fighting off sickness. Boy, there's times where I feel like this body just is falling apart on me. And it's easier to go to the medicine cabinet than to get a word of God, you know, and battle through that thing. But the word of God is one of our weapons when we're in battle. When we feel despair and we feel hopelessness and when we feel like the enemy is getting us down, I mean, I'm just encouraging, get a word from God. He will give you a word. Now, I don't say you don't have to. I brought my little notebook up here because this is what I do. When I'm in battle, I get a word and I write it. And maybe I have to look at it and read it, and I have to have it on my mirror, and it's on my vanity in my bedroom, and every time I see it, I look and I see that word that God has given me. And I start proclaiming it, and I get it in my spirit, and I memorize that word. And this is one of the things I have done for years. I have battled with the word. I've used the two-edged sword. And it works. It works. Because it gets me out of my head, and that alive, active word starts working on my behalf. Maybe I don't see it right away, but I know I'll see it. I know I'll see it. It talks about the bone and marrow in Hebrews 12. It says it even divides the joints and the marrow. I want to talk about the division. You know, we've gone through, if you're a Bible school student, of course you've gone through spirit, soul, and body. You've gone through that, you know, understanding the division of that spirit and soul, and which is such a powerful thing for us to know, because so many times we can just slip into the soul. God wants to heal our soul. He wants to use our soul. He's using my soul right now. He's using my mind, my will, and emotions to speak to you. And emotionally, I can touch you by what God is doing in my life. And that's when I talk and share a testimony. I emotionally use, God is using my soul. The areas where I have been broken and hurt, and I share with you, the light of the Holy Spirit can go through those broken places, and they shine forth the light of God. So don't despise your broken areas, because that's where God uses them. Through how does the spirit man get out unless there's cracks in our outer shell? I want to talk about just what happens in the marrow of our bone. The marrow is a soft, fatty tissue in the cavity of our bones, in which the blood cells are produced, often taken as typical strength and vitality. That's where our strength and vitality comes from, is the marrow in our bones. That's why we hear of Ezekiel, where he said the dry bones came together. There was no life in the bones. God had to speak life. Even when God formed man, what did he do? He breathed life into him. And there's life in our marrow. And we know that the word of God is powerful, but we also know that the blood of Jesus is powerful. But do you know that your blood in your body is powerful? Let me just tell you what it does. There are three cells in our body, blood cells in our body. The red blood cells transport oxygen from our body to the major organs. The red blood cells, it produces. I think of these three as almost as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Spirit, soul. I mean, it's a spirit. The red blood cells bring life. Okay? And you know what else it does? It expels carbon dioxide. It expels the junk. So as I breathe, as we all take in a deep breath, our blood cells are busily working to bring oxygen to all our major organs. And that includes our head, our brain. Okay, I think it's 4 minutes without oxygen to your brain. 4 minutes, Lori? You're a nurse. And we start having brain damage. That's how important those red blood cells. Sorry. I have to do CPR for my to run my business, and now you don't even have to do breaths if you just keep that heart pumping, they say. You don't even have to breathe anymore. They change it every time I take CPR. But even if you just keep that heart pumping, it'll start, it produces that blood flow to all those major organs. Do you think the Word of God, the Spirit going take it into the natural. That's our physical body. But in the spiritual realm, do we need the life of the Word? Do we need that living Word flowing through us? Yes, we do. And does the Word, when we read it, it divides. It gives us life, but it also cuts off the junk. Have you ever read the Word and it cut off junk? Have you ever gotten convicted? Oh, Lord, I need to repent of this. It cuts off the junk. The white blood cells help our bodies fight infection. Say you have appendicitis or something, they'll check your white blood count, right? And it's usually really high. Because all of a sudden, those white blood cells go into action for our physical body to fight off whatever. I mean, if you have a sore throat or if you have pneumonia or whatever, last time I went in and I was struggling, you know, she took a white blood count to find out, you know, because this is the marrow working. And I believe that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, goes into those areas where there's hurt. And it brings healing. The Word of God brings healing and life to us. And the last part in our marrow is the platelets. And that helps the blood to clot. If we don't have that, we just bleed out. If we don't have our platelets. And what that does is it's so interesting when you read about platelets, because what it does is it rushes to an injury. And then it attaches itself. These platelets attach themselves to the injured cells. And then it will form a clot. And it causes that to stop bleeding. I don't know about you, but the thought I'm in battle and I've been injured, I've been hurt, I've been bruised, and I have that platelet that comes and attaches to my hurt. And it stops that flow. Don't you think that's powerful? That's how our body works. It's powerful. That's why if you get injured, you have a bruise. It's those cells, those blood cells going to that area. It's like, here I am. I'm here to rescue you. I'm here to help that injury. That's what the Word of God does. To me, that is powerful. My second one is contending in prayer. When we pray, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is interceding day and night for you and I. Jesus isn't sitting up on the throne drinking Coke. He's busy. He's busy. He's interceding. Or Dr. Pepper drink. He's interceding for us day and night. I had a prophetic word that said I would understand Jesus as my intercessor. And I think when I go through battles and then I go through hard times, I understand that I'm not praying alone. He's interceding. He is interceding for me. Do you know, I think when I think about it, you know, Jesus fought such a battle for us. He won such a victory for us on the cross. And he robs Satan of his keys of sin and death. And he's up there interceding for us, and he's looking down. I don't know. Do you think it grieves his heart when we fall short? I think it maybe does. It's like, you know, it's like, come on, get it. I've fought this battle for you. I've given you the keys. I've given you victory. Do you know that through our own will, our own soul, we can tie the hands of our interceder in heaven? He won't go past our will. I don't want to not join him in his intercession. And I don't want to block receiving what he's praying for me to receive. I don't know about you guys, but man, I need all the help I can get. I need him interceding, and I so need to know that he's on my side. I know I was the one that put up these words on the wall, but you know they're prophetic. And sometimes I look at them and it says, all that I have is yours. Do you know where that is in the Bible? That's when Jesus spoke to the elder son. The prodigal came home and the elder son was mad. And God said, all that I have to the elder son is yours. But do you know what the eldest son? He was bitter. He couldn't even receive that. When I read that, I go, God, I don't want to be bitter and not receive all that you have for me. Be still and know that I am God. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you. And sometimes I just have to read them when I'm in here. And they bring such life to me. They're prophetic. The Word of God is, when we pray, do you understand prophetic intercession? What prophetic intercession is when God gives you a word. Let's say, a word that I'll never leave you or forsake you. And you start interceding with that word. God, I feel all alone. I feel rejected. I feel like I'm in this battle all by myself. But God, your word says, you will never leave me or forsake me. You have given me the victory. Whatever I am battling, whatever I am going through, if I have the word of God, I can pray that word. We can pray that over our finances. We can pray that word over our family. We can pray the word over our health. I've had to battle over my health. God, by your stripes I am healed. By your stripes I am healed. I am whole, spirit, soul, and body. When I feel like the enemy has overflooded my brain, I say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon, no voice of the enemy against me will prosper. This is prophetic praying. Get a word. Whatever you're battling for, get a word. God, ask God, I need a word. I need a word. I need a scripture. Lead me to it. You will know when it's the word of the Lord for you. I like the idea that, I don't totally like it, but I know that there's a scripture that says that that God speaks in the darkness and we proclaim it in the light. I think there's also a word in Daniel where God gave Daniel the answer in the night. God speaks in the night. Do you ever just get woke up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh Lord, no, I'm awake. I need to get up early, and why am I laying here in bed and I can't sleep? Do you ever realize it could be God speaking to you in the night? And we need to have an ear to hear. For me, sometimes I grumble and complain and go, Lord, I don't want to get up, and I have to get up early, and I try to go back to sleep. And actually, it happened to me last night. I don't always like it, but yesterday I was really struggling with just a spirit of heaviness. I had some things that I'd heard and just brought heaviness to my soul. And I have to find it for you. I woke up and I was laying in bed and I didn't know what time it was, and I knew I had to get up early to prepare what I was going to share today. And so I was like, God, I really need to get to sleep, because I set my alarm for 6:30. And I turned over and the clock said 3:20. 3:20. 3:20. I lay there, 3:20. God, what are you trying to say to me? 3:20. So I lay there, and I think I laid there about 20 more minutes fighting to get up. But I was like, and it kept saying, Ephesians 3:20. So I finally got up. I want to read it to you, because this was the word that God gave me last night in the night. Come on. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hold on. I'll get it. Do you think God can use an alarm clock? Okay, I told you I was just really battling with the spirit of heaviness. This is the word God gave me. Now to him that is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, indefinitely beyond our greatest prayer, hopes, or dreams, according to the power that is working within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ beyond all generations, forever and ever. To him who is able to do exceedingly above all that I ask or think, or hope, or dream of. That was the word God gave me last night, in the middle of the night. I needed that word. I felt like I was facing some hopeless situations. I don't know about you, but I think that's a good word to battle with. Superabundantly, it's one word. More than all we dare to ask or think. Indefinitely beyond the greatest prayers, my greatest prayers, beyond my greatest prayers. I am a prayer warrior. My hopes and my dreams. I don't know about you, but it took away my anxiety, took away my fears. It built faith in me. This word built faith. That guess what? He's got it all under control. Get a word. Write it down. know what you're battling with, but I know the enemy's battling. If you're a soldier and he's marshaling an army and you're part of that army, guess what? You're in a battle right now. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. Face it. We're in a battle. And God wants to give us a word. I just have to share. The time goes too fast. Prayer can change things. I just want to share a little bit about this revival that happened in the islands over by Scotland. It happened in 1968. But two women, one was 82 and one was 83. And they decided that they were in despair because there was no young people in the church anymore. And so they decided to start praying. And they started at 9 at night, and they would pray until 2 and 3 of the morning. And I think they were into their prayers, into it about 3 weeks, when God gave one of the older ladies, and I think one of them was blind, gave her a vision. And she saw the church full of young people and a young man standing up preaching. So she went to the pastor and she said, "Pastor, we've been praying and this is the vision God gave me." And he agreed with them that that was the word of the Lord. They used the scripture that God was going to pour water out on a dry and thirsty land. That he was going to pour out water on a dry and thirsty land. So the elders of the church and the two 80-year-old women got together and they prayed Tuesday nights and Friday nights. And I think it was like 3 weeks into it. God spoke to a young man in the prayer meeting, and he told him the scripture out of Psalms 24, I think it's 24, that says, "He that has clean heart, clean hands, and a pure heart will see God." And that group just started to weep for purity and for the presence of God to come forth in their lives. And within a short time, with nobody preaching, kids literally left the dance halls and came to church. They were drawn by a force stronger. They were drawn. But it was through the power of the prayer of these women and people getting their hearts pure before God. And revival broke out on these islands. And literally, it went on. There's a hall. Actually, the guy that came to preach, the first night he came and the church was full. There's 300 people in the church. There had just been a handful prior to that. And the pastor said, "Just come, speak to these guys, and then we'll get you some supper, and we'll take you home." And it literally went all night. People were weeping. Nobody, not even really preaching. People were just weeping and asking for the mercy of God in their lives. And after they left the church, they went, and here by the police station in the city, next door was the two older ladies' house, and there was 500 people standing there, weeping. God sovereignly poured out his spirit on this island. We need to use our weapons. We need to use our weapons. Our weapons are the Word of God, our weapons are prayer? Do you think God could pour out his spirit on a dry and thirsty person? I've seen it. I interceded for a young man in Plummer years ago. God just laid him on my heart. Don't take it lightly when God lays someone on your heart to pray. Don't take it lightly. You are a soldier. You are battling. Sometimes we battle for the souls of men. And I prayed for that young man. I wept for that young man. I think it was the following Sunday. We were in the old building. I never talked to him. But he walked into the church. And we were having fellowship dinner. And I tell you, my mouth dropped. He walked in and got saved. I didn't invite him to church. There is a greater force in the land. It's called the Holy Spirit. And this church has contended for the Holy Spirit. It has contended. We have contended in prayer. We have contended through worship. We have contended for the fruits of the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to flow. And as we purify our hearts and we get our lives straight and we enter into that realm of the Spirit, can this church make a difference? You know it can. Can your life make a difference? Can God take those hard places, those broken, hard places, and let his Spirit flow out of it? Yes, he can. Don't despise those hard places. God, sometimes he has to bring that breaking and crushing in our lives so that the force of the Spirit can flow. I believe God is doing a powerful work. He is marshaling an army. And it's just not for my life, for my battles. He's marshaling us. He's preparing us for the harvest. There's a great harvest. We are, right now, we are the most obese, addicted, despaired people, United States, than we have ever been. The souls of people are hurting all around us. All around us. We see it in their faces. And we have the word of life. We carry the word of life. I challenge you, pick up your weapons and use them.
We've definitely heard from a mother, haven't we? Thank you, Mary. 2 weeks ago in Washington, Lou Engel and a whole bunch of Bill Johnson, a bunch of them met on the Washington Monument. And Sunday was dedicated to women, that women would arise, because after the election, they heard a voice that was not my voice, that I want to be heard. And so... What they said in that was, I'd like the women to stand in this house, please, just all the women, girls, young girls too. Just stand up. It was decreed and declared that women were created to birth things. And in all the past revivals, it was the prayer and the intercession of women that carried the weight of what Mary just spoke this morning for our next generation. And so he was calling to women to arise to their calling and to be the voice that speaks out and the voice that births the revival for the next generation, because it's our voice. We're the nurturing ones. God created us special. I mean, women and men, and nothing against you men, because you're awesome too. But I just want to challenge you. I don't care how old you are, that right now, that Mary has petitioned that there is a fight and a battle for the souls of young people. And I just feel like the spirit of Esther. Esther prayed, and it was in a hard, hard place. She was in a hard, hard place, girls. Mary said she's in a hard, hard place, interceding. Okay? But what happened when Esther called for a whole nation to pray? I mean, she called, let's pray. That's what the woman put forth the decree to pray. I believe that Mary put that forth today. To start praying and believing for the hard things, just believing. And trusting God, that last scripture was amazing. The other thing is it says we need to fight like Deborah. We need to fight like Deborahs. Okay, so women, I just want to challenge you this week to pray like Esther and fight like Deborah and be a voice for the coming revival. So I just decree over these women of God in this congregation today, the spirit of life that would come upon them, that you would start speaking to them, oh God, as they lay and pray, and that you are going to speak to them divine things like 3:20. You're going to speak words of life to them. I decree and declare over them that revival will come to this community and revival among our young people, because women have contended. In the name of Jesus, I bless this congregation. I bless these women now, that as they go to their homes, they contend for their families, they contend for their children, they contend for their community, they contend for their schools, they contend for their health and safety in this region. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you so very much, Mary, for that powerful, powerful word. Again, voice, the voice of God. And I really just believe that by the Holy Spirit, just like the one guy had said to me at the beginning, or during this week, he just said, I heard the Lord. Have you heard the Lord? I think that's the big thing. Can we hear God? And if we hear him, what is he going to tell us? I hear the word ordination, and we're going to have 5 or 6, maybe 7 people ordained at our conference. But I hear ordination is your desire to get a word and to do that word. And so without a word, you can't do it. So you have to get it so you can do it. And when you get it and when you do it, the anointing of God is going to come upon yourself and the church like you've never seen it before. And I just release that spirit of ordination upon your lives. Ordination of what God's wanting to bring forth. You're ordained, you're ambassadors of the Most High God. Be the people of God. Rise up, because there's an ambassadorship that's coming upon the body of Christ like never before. Thank you so very much. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his goodness shine upon you.